الحمد لله رب العالمين، الصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، my brothers and sisters, to go straight into the live translation of the speech of Sheikh Abu al-Fadl Muhammad al-Suwayli حفظه الله. The Shaykh of Allah Ta'ala, he said that Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, he says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O you who believe, ati'u Allaha wa ati'u Rasul, obey Allah and obey His Messenger, wa ulil amri minkum, and those who have been placed in authority over you, fa in tanaza'tum fi shay, and if you differ in anything, farudduhu ila Allahi wa Rasul, then refer it back to Allah and His Messenger. إِن كُنْتُمْ تُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ If you truly believe in Allah and the last day, ذَلِكَ خَيْرٌ وَأَحْسَنُ تَأْوِيلًا This is better and better in final determination, final outcome. The Shaykh حفظه الله تعالى said, this ayah, it makes clear and it highlights a clear path and a straight a clear methodology and a straight path. In its beginning, Allah Azza wa Jal, He calls out and He addresses His servants by saying, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O you who believe. And it is important that you pay attention to this, as was reported by Imam Ahmad in his Zuhud and Fada'il al-Qur'an by Abi Ubaid al-Qasim ibn Sallam rahimahullah, from Ibn Mas'ud, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu, that he said, إِذَا سَمِعْتُمْ If you hear Allah saying, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَوْ you who believe, if you hear the ayah of Allah, أَوْ you who believe, فَأَرِعِهَا سَمْعَكْ Then you should pay attention with your ear, with your ears and your listening, because it is either good that you are being commanded and or evil that you are being forbidden from. And in this ayah, Allah Azza wa Jal, He commands with His obedience and the obedience of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. This calling out with Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, this statement Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, the Shaykh says that it has occurred in the Quran in 89 different places. Its beginning is in Surah Al-Baqarah where Allah says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu la taqulu ra'ina, O you who believe, la taqulu ra'ina. In that ayah in Surah Al-Baqarah, and that's the first place where Allah says, O you who believe. And the last place is in Surah Al-Tahrim where Allah Azza wa Jalla says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu tubu ila Allahi tawbatan nasuha, O you who believe. Tubu ila Allah. So 89 different places. The first of it is in Baqarah and the last of it is in Surah Al-Tahrim. And Allah Azza wa Jal, He calls them out, describing them with Iman, which is the greatest description. And it is a description that is more specific and more special than the description of Islam. And Allah, He commands with His obedience, because in Allah's obedience is eternal bliss, eternal salvation in this life and the next life. And likewise, He commands with the obedience of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam by saying, وَمَن يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولَ And whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger, وَيَخْشَ اللَّهَ وَيَتَّقِي And he has fear of Allah and he has taqwa of Him, has piety towards Him to the rest of the ayah. So he commands with the obedience of the Prophet ﷺ. And the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, he says in the hadith of Abu Hurairah, مَنْ أَطَاعَنِي دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ Whoever obeys me will enter paradise. And the obedience of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam means, the meaning of obeying the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is al-ityanu bima amar. It is to fulfill and carry out what he commanded. واجتناب ما نهى عنه وزجر, and to refrain and stay away from whatever he forbade, and to follow his clear path. Imam Ahmad, he reports on the authority of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he said that one day we were with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he drew a line in the sand, and he said, this is Allah's straight path. Then he drew lines that were going to the left and the right of this straight path, and then he said that these are the divergent paths that lead away from Allah's path, and at the end of every path of those diverting paths is a devil that invites to that way. Then he recited the statement of Allah in the Quran, وَأَنَّ هَذَا صِرَاطِي مُسْتَقِيمًا فَاتَّبِعُوهُ, and this is my straight path, so follow it. وَلَا تَتَّبِعُ السُّبُلُ, and don't follow these divergent paths and that diverting paths. فَتَفَرَّقَ بِكُمْ عَنْ سَبِيلِهِ, so that it doesn't take you away from Allah's path. And our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, or Allah, in fact, he command us to follow the straight path and the straight methodology and the clear way of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in our speech and our actions and our belief. A straight path and one path. It is not many. It is one path that was left for us. And whoever does so has been promised guidance. He's been guaranteed guidance. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَإِن تُطِيعُوهُ تَهْتَدُ, and if you obey him, indeed you shall be guided. And Allah, and his path is a path of mercy. Following his path, a person will receive mercy. And Allah says that you obey the messenger, لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ, وَأَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ, and obey Allah and his messenger so that you may receive mercy. And it is the greatest reason for a person to be guided and to be given steadfastness in the religion. And whoever obeys him and supports him and supports the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he will be successful, as the ayah says, فَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِهِ وَعَزَّرُوهُ وَنَصَرُوهُ وَاتَّبَعُوا النُّورَ الَّذِي أُنزِلَ مَعَهُ أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. As for those who believe in him and support him and believe in the light that he came with, then they are the successful. And Allah has promised whoever follows the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he has promised them paradise. He says, وَمَن يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ يُدْخِلْهُ جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارُ, whoever obeys Allah and his messenger, he shall enter them into gardens under which rivers flow. And the iman of a person will not be complete until he takes the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as a guide, as a leader, a one that he finds ease and finds contentment with the judgment of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As Allah says, فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ, no, by no means, I swear by your Lord, by no means do they believe, حَتَّى يُحَكِّمُوكَ فِي مَا شَجَرَ بَيْنَهُمْ, until they make you, O Muhammad, a judge for that which they differ in. ثُمَّ لَا يَجِدُوا فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَرَجًا مِمَّا قَضَيْتُ, thereafter they don't find any difficulty in that which you have judged. وَيُسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا, and they submit themselves with a submission. And whoever obeys Al-Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the chosen Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then that person's station and his status is a high one, and on the Day of Judgment will be alongside the prophets and the righteous. As Allah says, وَمَنْ يُطْعِ اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولَ فَأُولَٰئِكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ, and whoever obeys Allah and his messenger, then they will be with those that Allah has favored, مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَالصِّدِّيقِينَ وَالشُّهَدَاءِ وَالصَّالِحِينَ, from among the prophets and the righteous, مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَالصِّدِّيقِينَ, the truthful, وَالشُّهَدَاءِ وَالصَّالِحِينَ, the martyrs and the righteous. And Allah says, وَحَسُنَ أُولَٰئِكَ رَفِيقًا, and how good a companionship that is. And This is their companionship in the paradise that they will have. And Allah, He warned us from disobedience towards the Prophet. Allah says, وَأَطِيعُ اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُ الرَّسُولَ وَحْذَرُ. And obey Allah and obey His Messenger and beware. فَإِن تَوَلَّوْا فَإِن تَوَلَّيْتُمْ فَإِنَّمَا عَلَى رَسُولِنَا الْبَلَاغُ الْمُبِينُ. And if you turn away, then indeed upon our Prophet is just to convey. And the greatest examples in following the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ were his companions. If you look at Abu Bakr, Abu Bakr was the greatest one to follow the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ and to believe in him. In the story of the night journey of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, where he went from Makkah to Jerusalem up into the heavens in one night, he came when the Prophet ﷺ woke up and he told the disbelievers of Quraysh what had happened. They went over to Abu Bakr, mocking the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, saying, look at your friend, he claims such and such. And Abu Bakr said, إِن كَانَ قَدْ قَالَ فَقَدْ صَدَقَ. If he has said so, then he has told the truth. If he has said so, that he has done such and such, that he went up into the heavens by night, and he has told the truth. And he is the greatest individual after the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, and the most knowledgeable of the creation after our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If you look at the story that Imam Bukhari brings from Umar ibn Abi Salama, or Amr ibn Abi Salama, the young companion of the Prophet, he said that I was a boy and I was eating alongside the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam from one dish and my hand was going everywhere. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said to me, oh boy, say Allah's name, say Bismillah when you're about to eat. And eat with your right hand and eat that which is closest to you. Amr ibn Salama, he said that I never stopped eating in that manner. And this was him obeying the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam even later on. And there are many narrations that are in this regard, how the companions, they found themselves giving submission to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and obeying him. And they were the most obedient people towards our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And if a person was to write all of the incidents where the companions, they left what they wanted to do for the obedience of the Prophet, then we would end up with a large volume, a large book talking about it. Then Allah Azza wa Jalla says in the ayah, obey Allah and obey the Messenger. Wa ulil amri minkum, and obey those that are in authority over you. Here, Allah never specified them with obedience. The ayah says, وَأَطِيعُ اللَّهِ and obey Allah. وَأَطِيعُ الرَّسُولَ and obey the Messenger. وَأُولِي الْأَمْرِ مِنْكُمْ and those in authority. It doesn't say, وَأَطِيعُ أُولِي الْأَمْرِ مِنْكُمْ. It doesn't say, and obey those in authority over you. It says, obey Allah and obey the Messenger and those in authority over you. This is because the Shaykh says, because their obedience is tied to the obedience of Allah and His Messenger. Their obedience is tied to the obedience of Allah and His Messenger. So, if the person in authority, if the leader of a land, he commands you with disobedience, then you do not obey. إِنَّمَا الطَّاعَةُ فِي الْمَعْرُوفِ. As the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself said, the obedience is only in that which is good. And if we were to ask who are these people in authority, there was a difference of opinion regarding who is intended by and those in authority over you. Who are these people that are in authority? Who is intended here? It was said, some of the explainers of the Quran and commentators of the Quran, they said that it is Abu Bakr. And some of them said it is the Sahaba, it is Abu Bakr and Umar, sorry. Some of them said it is the Sahaba in general. Some of them said that they are the scholars. Some said that they are the rulers and the judges. Some say that it is the people of goodness. And some say that it is the leaders of the Muslims. And the Shaykh says that is correct. That it is what is intended by those in authority are the leaders of the Muslim lands. The leaders of the Muslim lands are those in authority. Imam Bukhari, he reports from Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, that Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, he said, this ayah, وَأَطِيعُ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَطِيعُ اللَّهُ وَأَطِيعُ الرَّسُولَ وَأُولِي الْأَمْرِ مِنْكُمْ. O you who believe, obey Allah and obey His Messenger and those in authority over you. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said it was set down, the reason it was revealed was because of the companion Abdullah ibn Hudhafa al-Sahmi radiallahu anhu. And it was regarding a battalion and a small group of army that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent, and he was commanded, and they were commanded to obey the person who was head of the army and head of the battalion. And likewise, the status of the scholars, the knowledgeable people of knowledge, the scholars, is in our religion is one that is great. They have a high position and a high status in our religion. And they too are considered those in authority. They too are those in authority because the leaders of the Muslim lands, they cannot do without the scholars. The leaders of the Muslim lands need the scholars to consult them and to get advice from them. Imam Bukhari, he said, rahimahullah, and the leaders of the Muslims, they were ones that have continuously been seeking consultation from the trustworthy of the scholars in their affairs. They have always been seeking consultation and advice from the trustworthy scholars in their affairs. And Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, he said, he alluded to this as well, and he spoke about this in words to the effect that there is the leader of the Muslims cannot do without seeking the advice and the consultation of the people of knowledge, because Allah commanded the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to consult his companions in his affairs, as Allah says, وَشَاوِرْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ, and seek consultation from them in your affairs. And there was nobody who would seek advice and consultation from his companions more than our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So other than him, naturally, is more deserving to seek consultation. And some have said that those in authority are specifically the scholars. Those that are in authority are specifically the scholars. And the Sheikh said that there's a big difference. There are many differences between the leaders and the rulers of the Muslim lands and the scholars. Although the scholars come underneath those who are in authority, however, there is a big difference between those that are in authority, meaning the leaders of the Muslims, and the scholars. The leader and the scholar, there's two different things. The scholar, as Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, he says, the scholar's job is to clarify the rulings and the legislations of Islam. Because the scholars, their job is also, is to clarify and is to preserve and is to make clear the religion of Allah to the leaders. And the job of the leader is to take care of the worldly affairs of the Muslims and the people, his subjects, and it is to provide and take care of them financially, and it is to defend and to wage war in defense of the Muslims. And it is being made clear that the scholars are different to the leaders of the Muslims. Ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah, he says that the scholars, being from those that are in authority, the meaning of it is that they are the ones who make clear and clarify the rulings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And likewise, this was also the opinion of Ibn Baz rahimahullah, and other than him, from the scholars of the Muslims, gathering and bringing harmony between these evidences, saying that those that are in authority are the Muslim leaders, and that what comes underneath them are the scholars. And the Shaykh said, Shaykh Abu al-Fadl, Hafidhullah Abu al-Fadl, he said that I asked Shaykh Ahmad al-Najmi rahimahullah ta'ala about this ayah, and he said that there was a differing in who, by the scholars of tafsir, in who is intended. And then he mentioned there was an ijma', there was a consensus. There's an ijma' that it is specifically, this ayah is specifically regarding the leaders and the rulers of the Muslims. And he said that I saw in some of the books, Shaykh Abdul Fadl said, I saw in some of the books that it mentions that it is also the scholars. And then the Shaykh said, so he asked him, what is correct regarding this? And the Shaykh says that, what is correct that this is broad and it is general, and it is a must and it is obligatory to obey them, to obey the scholars as regard to the religion, and it is obligatory to obey the rulers as regard to the dunya affairs. And the ulama, their job is that they are asked for fatwa, they are asked for a verdict. As Allah says, فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Ask those people of knowledge if you do not know. And the job of the ruler is that he takes care of the Muslim border, the borders of the land, and that his obedience is restricted to the obedience of Allah. If he commands you with something that is according to the disobedience to Allah, then he is not obeyed. And he said, here we shall list some of the differences between the leader and the Muslim. He said, firstly, number one, is that the leader of the Muslims, he is able to give himself vice leaders or representatives or people who are second in line that يعني, will take his place once, who are يعني, his secretaries, etc. And he is able to do so. As for the scholar, he cannot make for himself ministers and secretaries. This is not for him. And this is a clear difference between the leader and the scholar. A second difference is that the leader has allegiance over the necks of his subjects. That they give him bay'ah, they give him allegiance. And we have been commanded that we are patient with that leader, and that we hear him and obey him in good. Even if he whips your back and he takes your wealth, that you continue to obey. However, the scholar doesn't have this. He doesn't have an allegiance that is given to him. And this is only done, this allegiance that is given to the scholars is only carried out by the people of innovation. The people of innovation and misguidance, those people that have secret organizations, who have a leader and they give that person an allegiance. These cults and that have a leader and they swear and they give him an oath and they swear allegiance. That split the body, the general body of and the unity of the Muslims. And likewise, the scholar, you are able to file a complaint against the scholar. You are able to take the scholar to court if he oppresses you and takes and does something wrong to you. It is possible that you take him to court. The third difference is that the hakim, the Muslim ruler, or the ruler, he is the one who deploys and sends out armies to go and fight. And this is something that is specific for him. And the scholar isn't able to do so. It's not the scholar's job to send out armies to go and fight. And the ruler, the number four is that the ruler, he has eyes, he has spies, he has an intelligence body of intelligence that go around making reports and spying, etc. This is part of his him protecting his land and him sending intelligence against people that want to cause corruption and cause mischief and destabilize the country. But the scholar, it is not possible that he has, and it's not for him to have spies that are sitting in the masajid, in the mosques, and that report back to him with information. This is not for the scholar, it's only for the ruler of the land. Likewise, number five is that the ruler,
He is the one who carries out the corporal punishments. He's the one that carries out the hudud. He's the one that carries out the punishments for theft and fornication or adultery and murder. And other than this, he's the only one that can carry out these corporal punishments. As for the scholar, he is not allowed for him to do so. His only job is to clarify the ruling, and thereafter it is upon the judge, the leader to assign the one that carries out that punishment. Number six is that the ruler, he has foreign relationships with other countries and other leaders and other number five, I said that it is, or the chef said that it is, that the leader and the ruler, he carries out the corporal punishments, and the scholar has no affair in that, no share in doing this. Number six is that the ruler has foreign relationships. He has diplomatic relationships with other countries and other leaders, and the scholar, it is not for him to do so. The scholar is not, he doesn't go around having diplomatic relationships. Number seven is that the ruler, it is not allowed, and it is not permissible that there is more than one ruler in a country. Because the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man ataakum wa amrukum jamia." Whoever comes to you while your affair is gathered and together under one ruler, yuridu an yufarriqa jam'akum, and he wants to split your unity, fadribu 'unuq al-akhar, then strike the neck of the one that comes along who tries to split the Muslims, tries to split the subjects and tries to make another rulership for himself. However, whereas it is recommended that there is more than one scholar in a land. In fact, it is better that there is more than one scholar in the land. And every time there are more scholars in a specific land, the less there is a fitna and there is chaos. And the more that, and the less scholars that are in a land, then the more there will be chaos and mischief. The eighth difference is that the scholar, he knows and he recognizes the rulings of Allah, the legislative rulings of Islam. However, he cannot bind and force anyone to follow it. Whereas the leader, he can force people to do stuff. He can force someone and he can enforce someone to follow a ruling. And this is what makes the leader or even the judge different to the scholar. Number nine is that the zakah is collected and given to the leader, who then goes out and spreads it and distributes it to those that are entitled for zakah. As for the alim, the scholar, there is no zakah that is collected, and there's no charities that are collected for him. There is no zakah that is collected for him that he goes out and distributes. And this is from the specific affairs of the leader, the gathering of zakah. Number 10 is that the scholar in Islam, no matter how high his status is, and no matter how great of a scholar he is, if he makes an error and he is wrong in something, then he is to be refuted and rebuked, even if it is in public. Because protecting the Sharia and the religion of Allah, it takes precedence and it comes before protecting the honor of a specific individual. Whereas the leader, it is not allowed to speak against him in public. Even if he is wrong in something, if he does something that is wrong, speaking up against him in public, in a public domain, it is something that is wrong. As the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Man arada an yansaha lidhi sultan, fala yubdihi alaniya." Whoever wishes to advise a person in authority, then he should not do so in public. وَلْيَأْخُذْ بِيَدِهِ He should take his hand. وَلْيَخْلُوا بِهِ And he should take him in privacy. فَإِنْ قَبِلَ مِنْهُ فَذَاكْ If he accepts it from him, then this is good. وَإِلَّا قَدْ كَانَ قَدْ أَدَّ الَّذِي عَلَيْهِ Otherwise, that person has fulfilled and carried out his duty. And in this hadith, if you pay attention to this hadith where the Prophet ﷺ says, whoever has an advice for someone in authority, then let him not do it in public. We have benefits that can be taken from this. Number one is that this is a direction, and the Prophet ﷺ directing us to the Islamic method in correcting the leader. The correct method, the Islamic method, which a person should take, that is the way of the Ahlul Sunnah, in rectifying and correcting those that are in leadership. And it is also, we also benefit from this, that you should not speak out against the ruler in public. And this is in obedience to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This, you acting upon this hadith, is obedience to the Prophet. This is very, itself is obedience to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The same one who said, فلا يبديها علانية. He shouldn't advise the ruler in public. Rather, that what is upon a person is that he takes that ruler's hand and he goes with him in privacy. And this is what the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ told us, putting aside what anyone else says, because our obedience is towards the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. The second thing that can be benefited from this hadith, the Shaykh says, is that the advice is between the person who's advising and the ruler. It is private. As the Prophet ﷺ said, فَلْيَأْخُذْ بِيَدِهِ وَلْيَخْلُوا بِهِ Let him take him by the hand and go into privacy with him. Because in this is a great benefit that it is done in privacy. فَلْيَخْلُوا بِهِ And let him go into somewhere quiet and private with him. That it is an indication that it should be done without putting down that leader, and without taking him out of his and trying to expose that leader. The next benefit that can be taken is that a person doesn't then, after he's gone and advised the leader, he doesn't come out and say, I have gone and spoken to so-and-so and so-and-so from the leaders. That he doesn't do this. And this is the idea of a person going in private with the leader and advising him. And those people that wish to go out and say that we've spoken to the leader such and such, they wish to follow the path of those revolutionists, the Thawriyin, the people that like to revolt, the revolutionists, who act like they're brave and come out and say that we've advised him and we've spoken to him, etc., etc. And they oppose, in this that they do, they oppose the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam here, he says, فَإِنْ قَبِلَ مِنْهُ فَذَاكْ If that leader accepts from you, then that is good. All praises for Allah. وَإِلَّا كَانَ قَدْ أَدَّ الَّذِي عَلَيْهِ Otherwise, the person has fulfilled his haqq and fulfilled his right. And that your job is to advise. The person's job is just to advise in private without exposing, without enticing and enraging people against the leader. That in a way that isn't that doesn't bring down that leader. So there are doing so in the minbar, in the khutab, in the durus, and in front of the people. From the evidences that it isn't allowed to speak out against the ruler, from the Quran, from the hadith, the evidences is the hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari and Sahih Muslim that Shaqiq radiallahu anhu, he reports from Usama ibn Zayd radiallahu anhu, that it was said to Usama
They said to Usama bin Zayd, had you only gone and advised Uthman ibn Affan, why don't you go and speak to Uthman ibn Affan? This was when they were wanting to revolt against Uthman. They said, why don't you go and speak to Uthman? And then Usama, he said, do you think that do you want me, every time I speak to Uthman, I make you listen, I make you hear, that I do it in front of you? He said that, and he said to him, and he said, and Shaykh is saying, look at the way of the Sahaba when they are advising the ruler, and look at the way of the people of innovation. He said to them, do you want me to do it in public in front of you? Do you want me to go and advise Uthman, who is the Khalif and the leader of the Muslims, in front of you? Look, compare that to the way of the people of bid'ah and innovation and the Khawarij, who go out in public and they speak out against the Muslim ruler. And this is the affair of many people of today, that they go out and they come out and they say that we've advised him, and they go out in public. This advice should be between the person and the one who's advising and the ruler. He said, Usama continues and says, by Allah, I have spoken to him in privacy between me and him, and I do not want to open a door that nobody before me has ever opened. And the Shaykh is saying, look at this. Here we have the path of the companions. Usama is saying that speaking in public against the Muslim ruler was never known. It wasn't known to the companions. It was nothing that was ever done before. Speaking about him in the lectures, in the khutbah, on the minbar, this is not the way of the companions. He said, I don't want to open a door that nobody before me has ever opened. The question is, who is it that started this path? Who set the sunnah of speaking out against the rulers and against those that are in authority in public? He is none other than Dhul Khuwaysara. Dhul Khuwaysara, which was the leader and the founding father of the Khawarij sect. When the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ was distributing zakah and he was distributing wealth, he came to the Prophet ﷺ and he said, Ya Muhammad, i'din. O Muhammad, be fair. He was the first to speak out against the Prophet ﷺ. And he was the first to speak out against the Muslim ruler, who was the Prophet ﷺ. And the speech of the companions is much in this regard. So it is a must that we follow the way of the companions. And this is the way of Abdullah ibn Abbas and Abdullah ibn Abi Awfa radiallahu anhum jami'an. And if this is clear, then what we should understand is the people that write in articles or come in lectures, live lectures in public, speaking about the Muslim ruler, then this is something that is incorrect and is in opposition to the command of the Prophet ﷺ and the way of the companions. So this is, in a nutshell, what the Shaykh said. There was another narration that Abi Bakr radiallahu anhu, he saw a man speak out whose name was Abu Bilal. This Abu Bilal, he spoke publicly against the Muslim ruler. And then Abu Bakr, he grabbed his hand and he pinched Abu Bilal's hand. Abu Bakr was a companion of the Prophet Muhammad. He pinched the hand of this man, Abu Bilal, and he said, من أهان سلطان الله على الأرض أهانه الله. Whoever belittles the leader on earth, the leader that Allah has placed there on earth, then Allah Azza wa Jalla will belittle that person. So this is a way of the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and there is no evidence for the people who do so, that go out in public speaking about the Muslim leader. It is totally against the path of the earlier generations of the Muslims. And in a nutshell, the Shaykh then he starts speaking about the path of those that have done so, that it has nothing to do with our religion. And that in a nutshell is what the Shaykh has said, with some making something concise and some parts, skipping some parts because it all has the same meaning. I ask Allah that He allows us to benefit by way of the speech of the Shaykh, and He rewards the Shaykh. And He rewards you all for listening. وَجَزَاكُمُ اللَّهُ خَيْرًا وَصَلَى اللَّهُ وَبَارَكَ عَلَى نَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَجَزَاكُمُ اللَّهُ